Our word comes today from the gospel according to Luke chapter 1 verses 11 through 20. It's one that we have all read as Christians, as those who read the word of God. But we sometimes kind of look over it because we're trying to get to that exciting part, the coming of Christ. But the Lord moved on my heart today to share with you a word that sets the stage for the coming of Christ. And this is how the word of God comes forth. And I'm reading from the New International Translation. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was a serving priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, when all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elisha to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happened, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at its proper time. I titled this sermon today with a title, "Now is the Time." Let us pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity to break the bread of life, to stand behind the sacred desk, oh God, that I might bring forth that which you have dropped into my spirit, oh God, that I might share with your people. God, I ask that their ears would be open and that their hearts would receive what thus saith the Lord. God, give me power, strength to bring forth it that they might hear it with clarity. Oh God, and your truth will come forth. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The Christmas story and the Advent season. This is the greatest story ever told. The story of God's plan to save the world is about to happen. The story of heaven breaking into our world in quite a spectacular way. Where does the story begin? With an aging priest going about his regular priestly duties. As we read these scripture verses in the Gospel of Luke that tells of the birth of the forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, we have an opportunity to watch as the plans of God unfold. A plan designed, orchestrated, and implemented by God. Up until this point in time, God has been silent. And then the messenger of God, the angel Gabriel, transcends time and stepped out of eternity. Gabriel is on assignment. He has been sent by God to pull back the curtains of Chronos time for and release Kairos time into the atmosphere. You see, Kairos being the moment in time when heaven and earth connects, the transporting of blessings that you have never seen before. You see, Kairos being that opportunity when the portal of heaven is open to present a blessing that is transformative, life-changing, mind-altering, and heart-fixing. You see, Kairos is that time when those long-awaited prayers are answered, a time when everything could have been come into the earthly realm to be blessed beyond measure. Kairos is that time in the life of God's people when the faith that you have been holding on to, believing God for what seemed impossible, becomes possible. Kairos is that time when the human spirit may be faltering, but God steps in and changes everything. A time when God takes all the days and nights that you have been praying for what seems impossible and now show up in the doors of your life and say, I have a special delivery just for you. I heard your prayer when you prayed it out loud, and I heard it when you prayed it silently. I saw every tear. I saw every struggle. But now is the time. But is a transitional word. It changes what was into what is. But this three-letter word represents the power of God offered in a three-dimensional way. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The power of three comes together to change what into what wasn't into what is. Anybody in here looking for a but season in your life today? Here we sit watching as the curtain of time pull back and reveal the plan of God to change the life of humanity. Opening at scene one, Zechariah is in the temple. Then the angel Gabriel shows up in the temple. Just when Zechariah, a priest from the order of Abijah, is about to conduct his priestly duties, Zechariah has gotten the order that the favor of God has come to him. He would be serving in the temple, lighting the incense. Incense were symbolic of the prayers of the people. Zechariah, the priest, was inside preparing to lift up prayers, and the people were outside waiting and praying. There are 24 priestly orders, and Zechariah's order was now on duty. And the scripture tells us that the lot fell on Zechariah. Kairos moment that he would have the honor to light the incense during the temple service. There were so many priests that one could only hope to do this once in a lifetime. That's how God is. He lines things up in your life just when you think you're just going about your daily duty. God will show up in the midst of what you are doing. He will present you with a Kairos moment, and you don't even know sometimes that it's happening until it's upon you. The people had already arrived waiting for the service to begin, and Gabriel shows up and speaks to Zechariah saying, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or any other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. He is to be called John. Jehovah has been gracious. The grace of God, he will become a Nazarite. He will serve as the Messiah's forerunner. He will have the privilege to introduce the Messiah into the nation. He will say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You see, John's bio will read something like this. He's a forerunner. He's a reconciler. He's a reformer. He's a preacher. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth were well up in age. So he is confused and confounded, finding it impossible to believe what Gabriel is saying. Being past their childbearing age at the point to the human impossibility of a coming event. It wasn't that he doubted Gabriel was an angel, because the scripture says that when he saw Gabriel, Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. It wasn't that he doubted the power of God to bless. He was a priest. He knew the teachings of the Torah. He knew the history of Israel. He knew God had shown up with power in the lives of his people over and over again. It had been 400 years since God spoke. 400 years of silence, 400 years of no word coming about the Messiah. This is what the theologians call the intertestamental period. After 400 years of prophetic silence, God is now speaking. God is speaking into the lives of his people, saying that now is the time. God is speaking, saying things about to change. Now is the time. God is speaking, saying, I am about to do what I said I would do. Now is the time. Zechariah and Elizabeth is now older in age, no children, which is a stigma in their lives, but they remain faithful. The scripture says both were upright before God. Their time had passed, or so they thought. Their time was over according to man, but God would have the last word. Their time would be part of the prophecy. Their time to be part of the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah had escaped them. But God had everything in control. It wasn't that they were faithless. It was just not their time. They were about to have a now time. Now is the time blessing. While he was serving, his disappointment at not having a son did not keep Zechariah from the commitment he made to the Lord. This is the blessedness of service unto God. We need to learn how to be faithful. We never know when God's angel may arrive. You see, Zechariah was in the temple getting ready to experience what he and hundreds of other priests dreamed of being a part of, the temple worship. Gabriel shows up, startles him, first by his presence and then with his words. Imagine that you are going about your business, excited about a special assignment you have been waiting for, and God starts speaking to you saying, now is the time. When I first read this account, I was kind of hard on the brother Zechariah, saying that an angel was sent to you by God. What is your problem? But then I thought about what that must have been like. There was no letter that came saying God was dropping by. God just showed up. There were no phone calls or emails saying get prepared. God just showed up, people. There were no conference calls with the other priests. God just showed up and says, now is the time. And what would you say if it were you? Would you say, hey, Gabriel, what took you so long? Or would you say, Gabriel, it's a little late now. That ship has sailed. Or would you say, hey, glad to see you, Gabriel. I've been waiting on you. No, you and I probably would have said just what Zechariah said, or something very similar. How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. Zechariah's response was normal, because in the midst of an extraordinary blessing, we can forget that we serve an extraordinary God. We don't expect God to show up and do something extraordinary. We go about our daily business as if this the same old day like yesterday. I'ma just put one foot in front of the other. But I'ma tell you, an angel can show up in the midst of your life and change an ordinary situation into an extraordinary blessing. And just because it hasn't come yet, just because it hasn't happened yet, doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan for you. Here was a servant of God in the house of God going about his duty, and the angel Gabriel shows up and tells Zechariah three things. I'm going to tell you these three things and I'm going to take my seat. The first thing he said to him was, your prayers have been heard. Like Zechariah, many of you have been praying for a very long time for a specific blessing. Like Zechariah, we have believed God for the blessing. We have stood the test of time. You see, prayer changes things. Prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer is the language of heaven. We can learn any language we want to learn. Just get yourself a copy of Rosetta Stone and apply yourself, and I tell you, you'll be speaking another language pretty soon. But according to these and other scriptures, deacons, according to this and other scriptures, it says that we need to learn the language of prayer. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed continuously for a son. And when no son came, they prayed anyhow. Zechariah and Elizabeth, though disappointed, even embarrassed from time to time, never stopped praying. Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't believe that there was a chance for them at this point, but they prayed believing for somebody else. Pray for somebody else's dream and see if God won't step in and bless you so good that you can't even stand your own self. The second mess word that came in that message that that Gabriel gave to Zechariah is that your wife Elizabeth will bear a son. And you are to give him the name John. Your son will be a forerunner for the Son of God, the Messiah. He will introduce the Messiah to the world. Can you imagine? Here you are older, never had a child, prayed repeatedly, continuously for a child. But here God sends an angel who steps into your life and say that even though you think it's over, it's not over yet. Not only does he give you a son, but he gives you a son that will go down in history. John is known as the best, the most powerful prophet that ever came forth. I know we have a book of Old Testament prophets, one after one, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Malachi. The whole list of prophets, one by one that we have. Amos, we have Joel, we have all of these prophets. But the Bible says that John was the prophet. He was the one that God appointed. Can you imagine that you have been trusting God for a long time for a blessing? And God don't come with some ordinary old blessing. God comes with an extraordinary blessing. You ask for one thing, but God says, I'm going to bless you real good. You see, you've been faithful. You've been praying. You've been believing. You've been trusting me for other people. So I'm going to bless you real good today. Here we have the son of two senior citizens who thought that they had passed. Find themselves in God's opening act, scene one, a divine plan for humanity. It doesn't matter how long it's been when it's God's plan. It doesn't matter what other people think or believe about your life. It doesn't matter if it looks like it's impossible, because our God specializes in the impossible. Turn to your neighbor and says, now is the time. Tell them I serve an on-time God. It might look like time has ran out on me, but now is the time. You see, God is sending a now is the time message. God is still in the blessing business. He's not going to give you a son who is a forerunner to the Messiah, because there's only one Messiah. He has already come. But God might give you a son physically or spiritually who will tell somebody, everybody, about the goodness of God. He might even give you a daughter who can tell somebody, everybody, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He might even birth in you a herald's voice that you might bid to humanity, repent and give your life to God. Now is the time. You see, Zechariah, and Elizabeth were not perfect, nor are we. But if you were here in this place, in this house of God, this house of prayer, redemption, and deliverance, keep right on praying. Keep right on trusting and believing God that God is going to show up. He's going to show up in your life. He's going to show up in the life of your children, show up in the life of your neighbors, even in the life of your enemy. God is always at work, but believe he can do the work in your life that you never seen before. Young people are standing up for what they believe today. I am so proud. I am so proud of our young generation. Young people of all nationalities, they're marching together. They're standing together. They're sitting down together. They're lying down together. They're shouting together. I believe they're praying together. Lord, come see about us. This world is in chaos. People are killing people. Children are dying of hunger. Children are sick and can't get medicine. Children don't have clean water to drink. God, come see about us. Look what we've been left with, God. People just don't value life anymore. But God's response is, now is the time. I'm raising up some voices who will take my message of peace to the world. Now is the time. I'm raising up some voices that will take my love to the unloved. I am raising up some voices that will speak of salvation to the unsaved, the broken in spirit. Now is the time. After Gabriel delivered the message and Zechariah says, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. Gabriel responded, look here, Zechariah, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to tell you this good news. But since you're having trouble believing the good news, you will not speak until it's all over, until I have done what I said I would do. Can you imagine a preacher that can't preach, a preacher that can't pray, a preacher that can't worship in song and adoration? Can you imagine? Gabriel says to Zechariah, let me help you out. Since you're unable to believe, you will be unable to speak. Be silent until you see for yourself what I will do. Now is the time. What it will take for you to believe, people of God. God can step in and change your situation, anything in your life at any moment, any given time. You've been praying and fasting for breakthrough. You've been singing and shouting for the victory in Jesus. You've been reading the word and talking about the promises of God. But now is the time. God sent a messenger to tell you, now is the time. You say, how can I know? Is there any proof? God says, I sent a messenger with instructions. You say, I'm too old, and so is my wife. God sent you good news, but you bring up the old news. God didn't say, you will do it. God says, I'll do it through you. God didn't say, I'm depending on you. God says, I'll do it through you. God says, now is the time, and your prayers will be answered. Now, even now, somebody in here has shut down. Somebody in here is saying to themselves, this is not about me. Even now, somebody is thinking, it's too late for God to bless me. You're too late for me to realize my hopes and my dreams. But I want you to stop thinking negative things about yourself. Stop speaking negative words into your spirit. Stop telling yourself that this is just an old Bible story. Don't you see, I'm just a messenger. See God in the word. See God in his promises. See him in his record. Here, God is moving in the life of two faithful servants, senior citizens. God specializes in the impossible. You see, our God has already superseded menopause. Our God don't need Viagra to work it out. Our God speaks through burning bushes. Our God has parted some Red Seas. I don't know about you, but I know a God who's overthrown some of my enemies. I don't know about you, but God has rained bread from heaven. God has caused water to spring up from a rock. God can take you and me into the land of promise. Oh, our God can open doors that no man can shut. He can bring priests in a land where there's killing and destruction. Our God can make crooked roads straight. He can give sight to the blind. He can release those that are in bondage. God can calm those stormy seas in your life today. He can make you walk on water if you're willing to believe. God can revive a barren womb. He can give you a blessing that you didn't even pray for. Oh, I know it's so. I know it's so. Because my God has done exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I have ever been able to ask for. Because of his power that worketh through me. He is no respecter of persons. If he's done it for one, he'll do it for another. It was Zechariah and Elizabeth's blessing, but God got some more blessings. He is not short of blessings. His storehouse is full of blessings. Somebody is sitting in here refusing to believe God for a blessing. In this Advent season, I want to tell you that our God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. You know he is a provider. Our God is Jehovah Shalom. He is the God of peace. Our God can do anything but fail. Whatever you need, God is able to deliver. You just got to trust him for it. I know it might not look like it's going to happen soon. It might even have been years and years. But I want to tell you that God is not any time. He is in eternity. Our God is omnipresent. He is all powerful and all knowing. He knows what you need when you need it. If he gave it to you before you were ready for it, you just mess it up. But God is saying the time has come. Now is the time. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you real good. I'm going to bless you like you never dreamed I could bless you. I'm going to open up some doors. You think I can't do this. God says, I know you can't, but I can do it through you. Somebody in here saying, I really want to go back to school, but I don't think I got what it takes. Take it from an old head. You can do it if you want to do it. If you're willing to trust God for it, you can do it. You can stand up and do whatever God say you can do. He will never bring you to something and never take you through it. He will never bring you to a place and leave you. He brought the Israelites to the Red Sea. The mountains on every side and Pharaoh behind them. But what does he do? He said, use what I've given you. Stand there, Moses, and extend what I've given you. When Moses extended the rod, the Red Sea opened up. There's a Red Sea, but don't you worry. You extend what God has already given you, and your Red Sea will part. He will cause you to walk across on dry land, and your enemy will be drowned, and you shall never see them again. God can do it, people. God can do it. Now is the time. You got to believe it. This is Kairos. This is Kairos. Somebody get this, please. Don't leave here without believing that this is a Kairos moment in your life. God is about to shift some things. He's about to change the atmosphere. He's about to open up some things that's been shut to you. You've been praying a long time, but God says, I'm getting ready to open up the doors. Who am I talking to, God? I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss what God wants to do for you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force himself on you. But God has made us available to us. That if we were to open up our hearts and our minds and think outside the box, stop trying to put God in a box. You're looking to the right and God's coming from the left. Get in there and serve him. And keep right on blessing God. Keep right on praising God. Keep right on praying and the blessings of God will overtake you. It'll overtake you as you're going your way. As you're in the line with God, doing what God has called you to do. Lord, I ask God, whoever it is, oh God, I ask that you bless them. Give them a mind, oh God, to hear you today. We're in Kairos. Somebody is in Kairos today. Kairos doesn't happen often. But when it comes, you have to be open to receive it. He's a God that can do anything but fail. And he promises to keep us. You've been praying a long time. You've been trusting a long time. And God says, keep right on trusting me. Keep right on praying, but know that now is the time. Let us stand.